the only man who on this show has his own theme song. That is New York State Assemblyman Paul Bologna. Paul, welcome back to Hardline.
It's great to be on, man. Thank you so much. I love the song. Most underrated wedding song of all time.
I think it's the most underrated Friday song.
It might be. It might be. It's a great jam.
You get out of the office. I mean, for you, it's get out of the office and hop on the 90. You know, my gosh, what better way to get that energy going for a great weekend?
Exactly.
Paul, lots going on in New York State that I want to get to. And I want to start with the Medical Aid in Dying Act. I feel like this had so much attention when it first was passed. And then this week, a final element of it went into law. And I find that, you know, I brought it up on my show for an hour, and it seems like people have more questions than answers. What are your thoughts on this, and what can you tell people?
Well, look, I mean, this is now in the second year of actually being, I mean, it was vetoed a couple of years ago. It was passed, and there was what's called chapter amendments that were made this past year, I think in February of 26, and then obviously going into effect. And I still have the same concerns that I had back in February in the previous year, where there's a liability and a safe disposal portion of this that is very concerning. And I think you and I have talked about this on your show before. The thing that concerns me is that a third of people don't actually even use these medications if they're prescribed. So that means that these drugs are just floating around in someone's house somewhere. Because again, you don't have to go to a facility. If you want to be prescribed these, you can actually just take these home with you. And it's a combination of five drugs that you have to mix together. But here's the issue is that if, you know, these are very serious circumstances. You have families that are, you know, knowingly going to lose a loved one. There's a lot of grief. There's a lot of depression, a lot of mental health issues. And if these drugs are not administered by a doctor, they can be administered by yourself or a loved one, and they're just readily available in your home. What's to stop someone who has not prescribed these drugs from just taking them? And the response that I got was, well, that's never happened. Well, just because something has never happened doesn't mean it won't. And I would hate to be, responsible for putting these drugs in people's homes and then having a tragedy happen and then, you know, not being able to say that we did anything to prevent that. And that's what ultimately concerns me. It's the biggest portion for me. And I understand that there's moral issues, you know, there's playing God here. But at the end of the day, I just don't think this is a very well thought out piece of legislation. And that's what concerns me the most.
So on that point, because you bring up a really good point, what about if someone's prescribed it and then never uses it? So there's no tracking system, because like you said, they don't have to take it at a facility. The state's not following up to see if this person passed, if they passed because of this medication. So once it's out there, it is in someone's hand, and it's just the honor system.
Exactly. And the regulations are the same as any Schedule I or Schedule II drugs, for that matter. So it's basically like, you know, as you said, the honor system on returning them. And it's a combination of morphine, Valium, and a couple of the drugs that I can't pronounce. But the point is that the specific purpose for these drugs is to end a life. And I've used this example before. Like, let's say you have back issues or you have a surgery and you have like OxyContin or like hydrocodone sitting around the house, and your kid gets a hold of one of those and takes a couple. It might not necessarily kill them. These drugs in combination are literally designed to end a life. That is the purpose of these drugs. And again, when someone passes, my grandfather literally just passed 2.5 weeks ago. I can promise you that returning all of his medication to a safe disposal spot was not the topic of conversation. It was, okay, we have to plan the funeral. We have to, you know, plan the estate. Is mom doing okay? And there's all these familial things that take precedent over, hey, maybe we should return the bottles of pills to the drugstore. And that is my concern with this, that you're placing a great deal of responsibility and trust in people that are grieving to do something that really the state should have never let happen in the first place.
When I talked about it earlier this week, we had callers from Canada calling in, because obviously it says that you are not allowed to tell someone to do this as a doctor. But they say in Canada, it's written similarly, and you still have people suggesting, well, have you considered? You know, this is an option. I mean, it does seem, and Paul, I know we talk so much about this in politics, but if you look over the last 10 years, a lot of things that were a, quote, slippery slope ended up happening. This does seem like it kicks off a slippery slope.
Yeah, I mean, and look, anyone out there who has lost a loved one, again, I just said that my grandfather was 90 years old, lived a great life, God bless him. But, you know, he towards the end, the suggestion comes, well, should we put him on morphine? Which is kind of end around way of achieving the same goal anyway, because it's still end of life care and it's, you know, masked as they feel no pain and stuff like that. But again, it helps shut the body down. That conversation gets easier and easier to have. And I could see very much so how this becomes a slippery slope where, you have families that don't necessarily know what they're signing up for. You have, you know, individuals that don't necessarily know what they're signing up for. And, you know, as much as we hate to admit it, the medical system in New York, not New York State, the whole country is one big business in creating beds and creating and getting people out. So, yeah, there's a lot of concerns here. There is a lot of concern. And I never felt good with this legislation in the first place, which is why I voted against it. I don't think that this serves people of this state well.
Seems like a lot of people were voicing that. Was it a close vote, Paul, if you remember back?
Not really. It passed pretty overwhelmingly. It went about by party lines, as you would expect.
All right. Moving on, we just had the candidate for NY23, Aaron Gies, on, running against Langworthy in our part of town. And, I brought up the democratic socialism thing. Now, he's not a democratic socialist, allegedly. But we did see many win in primaries here in New York State. You know, what's your thoughts, Paul, from the other side of the aisle of this socialism now being, just talked about so freely from your colleagues on the other side?
I have a lot of concerns about it. Now, I'll tell you why. And you and I have talked about this before, and it's a really important thing to understand, is that you have very moderate Democrats that I consider friends, Democrats that I can work with in the state assembly that are very reasonable, that are moderates. Maybe we see the world a little bit differently, but we can at least come to compromise on certain things. What's happening is they're straight up losing primaries, and they're being forced to go further and further and further to the left. And, you know, let's take an example like, I know that auto thefts have been a big problem around, especially in Clarence and Amherst. And there's a simple piece of legislation that would make fourth degree, grand larceny, a non-bail reform offense. In other words, if you steal a car, your first offense, you could be held on bail. That right now, you steal a car and it's your first offense, there's no murder, you're free to go. They cannot hold you on bail. So there was a bill in 2023 that would reform that would make auto theft, would make people be held for your first offense. The pushback that was got on that by the Democratic Socialists was insane. And the problem is that you have moderate Democrats that are now afraid to push pieces of legislation that are very common sense. And have we heard about that since? No, we haven't. And what's happening? We're seeing cars being stolen at large numbers again. So, again, these are the things that I don't think is good for our society as a whole, when people are afraid to take common sense stances on issues because they're afraid of losing a primary, which they will, because the overwhelming majority of young people who are voting in these primaries are socialists. And unfortunately, these are people that have never necessarily, started a business, held professional jobs. They're career activists. And it is concerning when, a philosophical idea runs in contrary to what real life is actually like.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's stuff that 10 years ago you would I can't remember if Bella Villa said this. Someone said it's stuff 10 years ago you'd pay to get off your social media before running for office. And now people are actually running on the platform.
Exactly. It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
You mentioned vehicle thefts, and I had Sheriff John Garcia on this week to talk about the spike in vehicle thefts throughout Erie County, but most notably in Clarence over the last few weeks. And the sheriff, you know, pointed to two things: bail reform and raise the age, Paul. And it seems like anyone you talk to, most DAs, not the Erie County DA, but most DAs say the same thing, that the raise the age and bail reform, it doesn't do anything for justice, and it takes decision making. You know, it's everything is this blanket statement. It's not situation by situation. And, you know, the sheriff says that's a big issue, and it's leading to more vehicle thefts. Not only the bail reform, where you can steal a car and be in bed by midnight, but you have, you know, these gangs that are taking children, you know, teens under the age of 18, saying, hey, go steal this car, because they know it'll be wiped off the record when they turn 18.
Exactly. Well, I mean, look, there's actually a couple things I want everyone who's listening right now to understand. Just do me a favor, lock your car at night. I mean, that is the biggest thing I could tell anybody. Just lock your car, because these are crimes of opportunity. But yeah, I mean, look, I was saying it earlier, fourth degree criminal possession of stolen property, possession of burglary tools, third degree unauthorized use of a vehicle. These are all things that you should have to be held in at least overnight. But, you know, kids are being issued appearance tickets and a slap on the wrist, and they're literally, as you said, home by midnight. That is a fundamental problem, because there is no consequence. There is zero consequence. You know, and it's a problem, and this is the type of stuff that we're talking about. These are very common sense things. And the problem is, when you live in a society where the rules no longer matter and there's no consequence for breaking the rules, you're going to end up in a lawless society. And frankly, that is not the type of society I want my kids to grow up in, because, you know, I always use this joke too. And there has to be some accountability on parents at this point too, because I promise you, when I was in high school, that if I was ever brought home by the cops, I would have looked at the cops and said, I am better off with you guys than with my dad.
Yeah.
because that's just how it was. So we've created a society where rules don't matter, laws don't matter. And, you know, when you do things that harm society and harm people, there's no consequence. And that's an issue.
Yeah, the police did bring me home once, Paul, and they called my parents once. And let me tell you, I didn't leave the house for a few weeks after that. So,
yeah, you know. I'm taking me to jail. I'm better off there than with my dad.
Seriously. It seems like it sends the wrong message. And again, I'll have Democrats on here that will say, well, yeah, we've got to look. But it seems like they never say that in Albany. You know, you had the mayor of Albany 2 years ago talking about how raise the age needs to be revisited, a Democrat. But somehow that didn't get to the majority. That didn't get to the mayor, because we are still having this issue that seemingly comes up every year at election time.
Yeah, it's a problem. And Albany needs, like, this is the thing. I mean, we have bills that would do this. That all you need to do is just go in, come bring them to the floor and vote yes on them. I mean, they're sponsored by myself, my colleagues in the at least in the Republican conference. So it's the bills are there. All you need to do is just go in and go and vote on them. So yeah, it's a great talking point during election time. I wish it wasn't a talking point. I wish that we could talk about other things like energy, affordability, you know, lowering the cost of doing business in New York State. But yet here we are, talking about people's cars being stolen by the same, you know, group of kids over and over and over again, because we don't want to put consequences on any, you know, nefarious activity.
It to me, when I have sheriffs on here, I've had former DAs tell me that these things need to be revisited. And it seems like the majority and the governor think they know more than the people who deal with law each and every day.
It is placating to a base and a group of voters that don't believe in institutions. And that is when, you know, again, I don't mean to get episodic about this, but that is when society starts to crumble. When you don't believe in institutions, when you don't believe in rules, you don't believe in law enforcement, that is when society starts to crumble. And that is kind of where we're headed in New York State. And it's frustrating, and it's frankly a scary place to be.
For sure, for sure. Paul, Bruce Blakeman, governor candidate Bruce Blakeman, was in town yesterday up in the town of Niagara, something I've also been talking about a lot these last few weeks. You know, that's the district that's right next to your district, and there, you know, you've got the radioactive land, and then a few days ago we found more toxic land 5 miles where someone was trying to put a pool in and found all this stuff that was contaminating their land. Do you have any concern spots in your district that you'd like to bring up to the state?
You know, as of right now, no one, none of the people that have been on that list have been in my district. I do have concerns, and I really, honestly, any place in Western New York should have concerns if you have any type of longstanding industrial areas in your district. The transparency portion is the biggest part of this for me. Who knew what, when, and when they found out, what did they do to notify the public? And I understand, you know, from my understanding at least, a lot of this stuff had occurred during the Manhattan Project, which, okay, fine, I understand that there was a certain level of secrecy there, but we're almost 100 years past that. So no one wanted to notify the public that, hey, maybe you're building, you know, residential areas on top of radioactive soil. So it's stuff like that. Like who knew what, when? I'll say this. Senator Ort has a bill, which I agree with completely, that we need to change New York State Superfund laws to allow for radioactive material as well, not just hazardous waste. Because the biggest thing is, and he said this, yes, health is paramount, but these people's homes have pretty much just lost almost all value. And, you know, for most people, their home is their biggest investment asset, and these have now become a liability. And, you know, that's not their fault. The government never notified them that this was the issue. And if this is happening in my district too, I would want people to have access to funds, you know, to make themselves whole, to obviously get themselves out of the situation and keep them healthy. So, yeah, and if anyone has any concerns, if it's okay, I'm going to read a number from the DEC right now.
Of course.
If anyone has any concerns, the number is area code 518-712-8279. And that is a dedicated phone line to Erie and Niagara County. So if you have any concerns on your land, that is area code 518-712-8279. And, you know, talk with the experts. I mean, again, I am not a radiologist. I am not a scientist. I am a public servant. So these people are the professionals, and they understand what is in your soil, what is in your land, and how to test for that. And if you want your land tested, they can do that. So I think transparency is the biggest thing. And I think that also making people whole when, you know, they bought a house or built a house on land that is radioactive, that had no way of knowing that it was like that. That's a terrible thing.
Morinello was on last week, and he said, you know, this is, and I agree with him, this is not a political thing. This is a, you know, humane thing. These are human beings living on this property. Does this seem to have support across both aisles, or do you believe it will have support across both aisles?
I mean, it should. I don't know who, and the thing is this is, I don't want to say there's no one to blame for this, but this is just such a systemic thing where you have the EPA involved. At some point, you probably have some of our national security agencies involved with this. Again, if we're talking about back from the Manhattan Project, I'm sure there was a level of secrecy. So, you know, your state agencies maybe didn't even know that this was a problem. And certainly your local governments didn't when they were permitting residential zoning for this. So, I mean, again, there's a lot of facets that go to this, and this is sometimes the problem with having such a big and expansive government, is the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. So again, the biggest issue in all of this for me is making sure that, you know, residents are made whole, residents are safe, and they have a safe place to go. And that quite literally is the responsibility of our government, considering the fact that the government ultimately is who created this problem in the first place.
Paul Bologna, always great to have you on the show.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you so much, man. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Go Bills.